Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we can be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. To Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we'd ever deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to accomplish your will, Father. Guide us in every way that everything said and done could bring honor and glory to your name. And Father, we pray for the lost that you would help them to see their need to turn and trust in Jesus before it be everlasting too late. And Father, for those of us that are saved, help us to see the short time we have here on this earth to work for you, to honor you, and to bring souls to your name. For Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're continuing to study on the one true plan of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, and we're going to finish that off with a study through the book of Romans. Now, in the book of Romans, as well as with really any other book in the New Testament, there are scriptures misused, misquoted, taken out of context. And it's going to be our goal while we go through this to put things into context. Now, some of that I won't be able to do in 1 week. Sometimes we're going to talk on one subject and may bring out a point to say, hey, we're going to put this into context, but you might have to wait till next week or the week after. And so I know that some of that will be difficult. And sometimes you might say, well, Brother Brandon, we can't hear you. We might be out of town. We might miss you. We put these messages on sermonaudio.com every week. And so you can go and listen to them at your convenience on your computer, on your smartphone, on your tablet, on your different devices that you can go back and catch up and listen to these. If you only catch a part of the message, you can listen to them. If you want to take a message and download it and burn a copy to a CD where you can have it in your vehicle or to give to somebody else, that's one of the reasons that we like to use sermonaudio.com, and we encourage you to go there if you haven't. All you have to do is when you go to sermonaudio.com, they have a search bar at the top of their page, the top search bar. If you type in my name, Brandon Hartfield, in that top search bar, you will see every message that I have on there, over 100 already. And we try to add one a week whenever we put out a radio broadcast. We try to do it on that Sunday. Sometimes that's not, it's not able where we can, but we try to do it on the Sunday that it actually airs. But if you give us just a few days, if it's not there that Sunday, it'll certainly be there within a few days thereafter. But we certainly, recommend that to you because I know that some of the things that we talk about, especially when we're going through Bible studies, through books, that when we're trying to show the context of something, if something's three chapters over and you have to read everything in between to get to that final conclusion that that God is trying to make through whichever writer he's using at that time, sometimes it might be a week or two before we bring that to say, here's how that all fits in. And so I want to encourage you, if you have the opportunity to do that, if you're able to listen to us every week on the radio, we certainly appreciate that too, and appreciate these radio stations that allow us to have this opportunity. And we're going to get started today, the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Well, who called him? He didn't call himself, did he? God called him. And that's the same thing that the servants today, as far as ministers, they have a calling. And I have no confidence in a man that says he chose of himself to be a minister. If God didn't give him a calling, a burden upon his heart for that place, I don't have a confidence in the man. But he's a servant of Jesus Christ. Notice that. He's not a, you know, one of these lords or hierarchy in Christ. A servant, which is what a minister is supposed to be. I tell people all the time, I am a spiritual servant to the people. I tell the people that I pastor a lot of times, I said, listen, you need me at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night, midday, whenever it is, You know, there's sometimes I can't get to my phone or I'm with somebody else, but as soon as I'm able to, I try to get back to people. And I try to call them, I try to contact people, I try to be every place that I can be. And people say, well, Brother Brandon, we don't want to mistreat you, or we don't want to be an inconvenience. How are you going to inconvenience a servant? My job is to serve. Now, it's to serve in the capacity of a spiritual person in Christ. Now, somebody's wanting to use me to say they want me to come over and mow their grass or plow their field or something. We're talking different things. But I'm a spiritual servant to the people. And if they need me, spiritually speaking, I want to be there for people. And I've even made that statement similar on this radio broadcast. If you need somebody to pray with you, if you need somebody to help you find a church in your area to go to, because it's not about, oh, I just want to build up where I'm at. No, I know that there's some people who can't drive and be where I'm at. I know there's some people who are not close to where I pastor or preach or work. And when that happens, I know other preachers in other areas, and I try to find other churches in other areas that I can have confidence in and recommend them to the people in that area. That's one of the things that we try to do. And because we're about serving you, we're about helping you draw close to God. It's not about us. It's about God, and we're a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, verse 2 is saying, the gospel of Christ, the salvation of Jesus Christ, is not really something new. It's something that was prophesied all the way back in the book of Genesis. It was something that was prophesied before the law was ever written. It's something that was prophesied before the flood. It's something that was prophesied in Job's day. That people knew that there was going to come a Redeemer who would die for their sins, who would be the atonement. And that was understood, that was prophesied, that was preached. And it's not something new, it's something that was promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. In the Holy Scriptures there, He's talking about the Old Testament. He said, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. A symbol that proved that He was of God, but also was necessary for our justification. He said, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Notice who the gospel is to be preached to. All nations. It's to reconcile all people to God. To bring people back to God together. He created man, and He wants to bring all of His creation back to Him. To restore them to where they used to be. That's why we preach the message of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to God. That's what we preach. He said, for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. That calling there is He's called everybody to repent and believe in the gospel. That's the calling. Called of Christ. He said, to all that be in Rome, so that tells you who He's writing to, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice He separates God the Father from Christ there. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He's saying everywhere we go, we hear of people who have believed in Christ. Everywhere we go, we're meeting people who know others who have believed in Christ. And so your faith is being proclaimed throughout all regions, throughout all the world. He said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And of course, we're certainly to pray for one another. And of course, Paul prayed for these brothers and sisters in Christ, that they would stay true to the Lord. He said, making a request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. And that spiritual gift he's talking about here is not some light in the sky type of spiritual gift. It's not some magical thing. He's talking about the gift of the knowledge of God, to grow in the things of God. That's what he's talking about here. That they may be more established, that they may be stronger in the Lord. He said, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. That mutual faith is what? Faith in Christ. And it doesn't matter where it's the preacher in the pulpit, or whether it's a member that's been saved for one day or one week. We have a mutual faith, don't we? You know, the places might be different. I've met some people that say they were saved in church. I've met some people that say that they were saved at work. Some say they were saved in a garden. Some say that they were saved while they were driving down the road. I've met many different people that, as far as the details around their salvation, might be different than mine. I was saved on my bed the night that I got saved. That's where I trusted Christ when I was 15 years old. As I was laying on my bed one night and knew my condition, and I turned by faith and trusted in Christ as my only hope for salvation. Now, the things around it might be different, but what's mutual about it? We've all saw ourselves as a sinner, and we have a place and a time in our life where we trusted in Christ alone for salvation. That's the mutual faith that we have of both you and me. He said, now, I would not have you ignorant. So what's he beginning to speak on here? He wants to give them knowledge. I want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be without knowledge. Brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And, you know, he's saying, listen, I want to come and be with you. I want to be with you in person. It just hasn't. The opportunity hasn't come yet. He said, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And he's just letting them know, man, I want to be with you. I want to share the gospel. I want you to grow in the Lord. And notice he said, I am a debtor. See, I owe everybody the gospel of Christ. He said, barbarians, Greek, Jews, doesn't matter, does it? Everybody I come across deserves to hear the gospel of Christ, because the blood of Christ was shed for who? Everybody I come across. You mean that person that cursed me out at the gas station, preacher? Jesus died as much for him as he did you. Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, you name the worst people you can think of in history, I am a debt. I am indebted to preach the gospel to them, whosoever they be. If I get the opportunity to my worst enemy, and many Christians for many years, one of the greatest witnessing testimonies that Christians had is while they were being put to death, the people that were putting them to death, they were letting them know, I forgive you. They were letting them know, sometimes even praying, God, they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. God, have mercy on them. Some people say, preacher, I couldn't do that. And see, that's one of the biggest problems in our world today, is we don't believe in the message of reconciliation. Not like the Bible teaches it. See, I believe my worst enemy can become my brother or sister in Christ. I believe that with all my heart. He'll say, preacher, there's some people. Listen, I come across some people that, as far as in my flesh, I wonder, I say, God, will this person ever listen? God, why even share Christ with this person? They're not going to hear. That's not mine to judge, is it? Who was the Apostle Paul before he got saved? He was going around putting people in prison and having them killed, wasn't he? That's what he was doing to Christians. If God can change a person like that into a Christian, what can He do to some of these that call us names and make fun of us and do different things like this? What can God do? That's why we preach the gospel to all people. Now, we preach it in truth and sincerity. We preach sin as it is. We don't try to sugarcoat it. But we want all people to repent and believe the gospel. He said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me deal with that for just a moment. Why should I be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why would I be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? It's the only thing that can change the world. It's the only thing that can take the prostitute out of the prostitution. It's the only thing that can help the drug dealer get out of his situation, turn and be a good person. It can help that prostitute woman become a good wife. He can help a prostitute man become a good father and a good husband. It can change people. It can take an evil person and turn him into a good person. Why do I need to be ashamed of that? Oh, but they might persecute you. They might be saved too. We can go the ifs all day long. What we're to do is to preach the gospel to all creatures. And when I say all creatures, I'm talking about all human beings. We're to preach the gospel. I'm thankful that there were people that were unashamed to declare the gospel unto me. Because I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm thankful for that I had family. I'm thankful that there were preachers. I'm thankful that there were missionaries. I'm thankful there were church members who were unashamed to share the gospel with me. And if you want to change the ghettos today, you know what they need? The gospel. You want to change the political climate and the hatred and the partisanship that you see in the world today? You got to preach the gospel. It is the only cure for what ails men today. It was what years ago when this country was divided between Federalists and Anti-Federalists that brought us back together. It was what brought us together after the war between the states. And a lot of that history is being attacked in our day and time because they don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to know about Mr. Beauregard down there in Louisiana, whose statue they tore down not too many months back. They don't want you to know how he stood up in New Orleans and said, we're all New Orleans. That's why his statue was there. They don't want you to know that truth. They don't want you to know how he preached for desegregated schools, that he didn't want segregation. He said, we're all New Orleans. You know how a lot of those men brought about that? They don't teach you about how Robert E. Lee tried to reunite people, North and South, after the war was over, do they? Same reason his statue was down there in New Orleans and now torn down. They don't want you to know how he prayed with a black man in his own home church to show how we're to come together in unity and be one America. And you know why he believed that? He got it from his Bible. That God is no respecter of persons. They don't want you to learn that history. They don't even want to teach you when we have Martin Luther King Jr. Day that what he tried to unite Americans on was not that one race is superior to the other, or not that you owe me anything. He said we just need to be treated equal under the law. And his dream, his I Have a Dream speech, who's read it lately? Who reads that he wanted people to be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Instead, we're judging people and saying, calling white privilege and saying we need this black special privilege over here, this Hispanic special privilege over here, all these other things, instead of saying, why don't we come together as Americans on principles? And in churches, why don't we come together on the Word of God? Paul said, I'll preach to whoever, because Jesus died for all of them. His blood was shed for every last one of them. And so I'll preach to the barbarians. I'll preach to the Greeks. I'll preach to the Jews. And some people say, yeah, but it said to the Jew first. Who first had the Word of God? Who first had Jesus preach to them? Jesus was a Jew. Who was the first people he preached to? It's just so in an order, in a line. The first church in Jerusalem was made up of what? Jews. So it went to the Jews first and then spread out into the world to the Gentiles. That's all he's saying here. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. How is it revealed? From a person that has faith to a person who has not believed yet. From faith to faith. That a person of faith leads a person into faith in Christ. For you to believe the gospel, you've got to have somebody tell you about the gospel. Whether it's a preacher, whether it's a family member, whether it's a church member from a local church in your area, whether it's a missionary, whatever it is, there's somebody that has to get you the gospel. You might be listening to this radio broadcast, and it's the first time that you've heard that you need to repent and trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. Well, somebody has got you the gospel. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, he begins in verse 18 to start talking about the wrath of God and how it abides upon man. And these are some very important scriptures to put in context. Because what he is about to do, and I'm going to go ahead and state this week, and we'll get back into it next week too. What he's about to do is show how man left God and how man continues to leave God and follow their own lusts and their own desires, of who we all have had our conversation, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so he's going to go through a list of things to prove that everybody is a sinner. And that we can't blame this group of people or that group of people, for all have gone astray. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. How do we hold the truth in unrighteousness? Because every one of us knows right from wrong by the conscience that God even gives us. There are certain things. Stealing's wrong wherever you go, isn't it? Murder's wrong wherever you go. There are certain things that are just universal that shows us to be sinful human beings. He says, because that which may be known of God was manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It is clearly seen that there is a God. If you study the depth of science, you understand there's a God. If you understand how limited it is for life to be able to come out of the cosmos, and how a planet has to be perfect in a perfect spot. What if we were a little bit further away from the sun? How would that affect the temperatures of how we could survive and live? Or we're a little closer to the sun? Oxygen levels. You look out, there's law everywhere you go in the universe. And everything God created, the more you look at it and study it, the more it reveals God. And there are many scientists who say that. That's not the ones that are promoted in our day and time. And certainly there's even some that have been fired from their positions at universities because they say, we believe scientifically there is a God. Or at least there's a creator. Or something greater out there. And as soon as people hear that, that are anti-God, they're like, we've got to get rid of these people. It's not because science doesn't prove it. It's because they want to control what you hear because they know that most of us are not doing the scientific research ourselves, so they want to control what you hear so that you can be manipulated. But there are plenty of scientists out there that believe there is a God. There are plenty out there that believe there is a Creator. And the more evidence that is shown over time, there's many of them, many, who have said on many occasions that the more we study, the more we see God. But to anybody out there, your existence should prove that there is a God. If you believe we just happen to be here, or happen to evolve, or whatever, that's kind of foolishness, isn't it? That life just happens? Well, there has to be life before other life can be. I mean, that's a scientific must. We don't just evolve from nothing into something. There's no evidence for that. There is zero scientific evidence for that. Zero. So the things of God are clearly seen. Clearly. He says, they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what God is saying here? Man trying to say, well, I didn't have the opportunities this person asked. God says, you just being here is reason enough to believe that there is a God. Now, that's just believing there is a God. Believing who the true God is, there's a reason that God gave us the book of Genesis. There's a reason that God gave us the history to prove who He was. There's a reason. But He's stating here that these things are clearly seen, and at least man's without excuse of believing there is a God, because nature itself, creation itself, bears witness of it. These things are clearly seen. And before we go on any further, we'll pick up here next week. Before we go any further, you know I can't even help you if you don't believe that there is a God. Because I can't make you believe in Him. And God's not going just for you to do some miracle just to prove Himself to you. His creation bears witness of Him. History bears witness of God. There's so many things that bear witness of God over time, it's not even funny for anybody that wants to look. But if you look at the stars, if you look at the heavens, if you look at the earth, you look at your existence, you look at how there's laws in nature, and there's laws in the universe. There's laws. There must be a lawgiver. If you first don't come to that belief, dear friend, everything else that I read from here on out will not be a help to you. Now, I think it'll do more to prove God and show that He is right and show that His Word is true. And it can help you. But dear friend, you have to be willing to admit there is a God before you can get help from God. And He is clearly seen, even by the things that are created, even within us. All over the world, throughout cultures, throughout all the years, man has believed they are a threefold being with a body, a soul, and a spirit. You know where we get that belief from? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Comes from God. Even His eternal power and Godhead, because we're created in His image, is revealed even in us. And even how we're different than the animals. And how we have thoughts and souls and things of this nature. And I pray that as we study and as we go through, that you see that there is a God, but you also see what He's come to do. And I pray that you can see that He made one gospel and one way of salvation, and that's through Christ. And He wants to reconcile His creation back to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you have that. If not, I pray that you'll believe upon Christ before it's too late. If you'd have anything upon your heart, any question or comment, you feel free. Our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 3-9-4-0-1. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.